Welcome back to another episode of Afternoon Delight. It's Kyle Rush, Ben Taylor. Whether you're listening or watching on the Members Only channel, we're going to have some fun today. Everybody's talking about offense, Ben.
I feel scandalous when you say I'm on the Members Only channel. Like, like kickback from OnlyFans or anything of that nature? Or?
It's nothing like that. It's just YouTube. YouTube membership.
I got you.
Yeah, everybody's talking offense. We're going to talk some defense today. I've been going through a lot of the position battles, and a lot of the ones that are seemingly more, I don't know, up for grabs maybe, or on the defensive side than the offense. Yeah. The offense seems to have a little bit more clear-cut leaders, and the defense has some stuff up for grabs. And, you know, for the most part, I think the defense has been – the defense is not under Durkin has not been what's lost us games. Maybe on maybe a couple that you could point to where the defense failed us. But for the most part, I feel like the defense has been pretty good with very limited offensive shielding on the other side of the ball.
Yeah.
But let's talk about defense, man. What do we expect out of the defense? I'm going to give you some stats. And just to kind of give you some reference, so Auburn had the number three rush defense last year, really good stopping the run. So what does that look
in the conference?
So, yeah, in the conference. I think it was 10th overall in the nation, but third in the conference. Not bad. Then you're pretty much middle of the road everywhere else. 9th in sacks. You're 11th in pass defense. That was a bugaboo at times. You were 7th. As far as total defense, from a yardage perspective, you were 7th in scoring defense, and you were, 6th in third down conversions, opponent third down conversions. So, again, right there in the middle of the pack as far as defensive numbers go, what do you think the outlook needs to be, or what do you think the outlook is for this season?
I mean, you and I talked a little bit beforehand. I want those numbers to pick up. I think, you know, they work hand in hand, offense and defense. I mean, because if you're going to put them in a bad position, when I loved how the last couple of years that the defense caught some strays and they said, oh, that's not what it's cracked up to be. And I'm like, yeah, but we gave them the ball on the 45-yard line. Like, what? You can't expect them. I mean, when you do those numbers, when they talk about pinning guys deep, like, you know, a coach one time told me he ran down the percentages for me. Like, if you punt it inside the 10-yard line, they've got like a less than 7% chance of scoring.
Yeah.
And so, and those numbers, and I know that's analytics, and you, but those numbers do speak for themselves. And
well, over
so,
time, they absolutely do.
Yeah. And so, when you're giving a team the football on the 35 and the 40, I mean, how many kickoffs did we screw up with something that we gave them the ball on the 35-yard line to start the drive? You know, and so it's when you put the defense in a position like that, I know it's middle of the pack, but I don't want to just completely throw them under the bus. Cause I mean, you got that number three ranked run defense. And then after that, now I think I speak for a lot of Auburn fans when I say, why can't we get off the field on third down? Why is it third and 12 and we're still giving up 12 and a half yard receptions, or we're leaving a tight end wide open over the middle? So I would like the third down.
Defense. We're 6th there in the conference.
And see, and honestly, when you told me that, when you said that number just a minute ago, it kind of shocked me. I thought we were probably closer to like double
now,
digits.
The year prior, it was 11th.
So the bleed over.
I
was still feeling the effects from the previous year. So, you know, you and I talked about with positions being up for grabs. I think you said earlier this morning, you talked about defensive ends and, can we find some guys that can get home and at least disrupt a quarterback where they're not sitting back there able to pick? Because you can only ask so much time from the defensive backs. I mean,
right.
Once a guy starts scrambling and receivers start scrambling, the poor defensive back, all fundamentals are thrown out the window at that point. Now they're just fighting for their life to try to be around the guy to knock the ball away. So it would be nice to, you know, fight, like you mentioned the edges, but I mean, I also say the linebackers and, you know, defensive linemen, if you still stay at 3 and run defense, Kyle, that's pretty dang good, man. Like if you're top 5, I'll take that in run defense. So, You know, the numbers that I'd like to see get better are explosive plays, you know, not allowing those. The third down, you know, getting off the field, even though I know that we're at six, but that'd be nice to be right there at three with the rush defense. And so it just feels like, I think you and I have had this discussion before, this bend but don't break defense type mentality, it seems like we've had that dating all the way back to the first part of the Gus Malzahn era. Like, it's,
define what you mean by bend don't break.
Allowing a team basically to push it down the field, and once they get to the red zone, then you're tightening up and you settle for a field goal, which I'm okay with, but that's what I call a bend but don't break. Like, they're allowing them to put yards up, get to the 25, and then all of a sudden some good play calls are called, or maybe some missed opportunities by their offense, so they have to settle for a field goal, which can win you a lot of ball games doing that. I'm not arguing that fact. But, you know, I, like every other fan, man, I'd love to see some takeaways, some forced fumbles, some, you know, instead of our guys getting 12-yard sacks, I'd rather see our defense sacking their quarterback 12 yards deep and putting them in a hole. Where they've got to just run a screen to try to manage yardage and punt it away, or run something up the middle to kill clock and then punt it away. So that's my idea of bend break. I don't know if that's what the exact definition is, but, you know, them putting 6 points on the board is breaking. Them putting three on the board or less, that's bending, in my opinion.
Gotcha. The numbers seem like, when you look at the statistics from last year, it feels like we were – pretty solid for the most part of getting off the field. Like, where was that scoring defense? Seventh again, 20 points a game. Here's my whole thing about defense. I think in a vacuum, if you just look at it from a statistical standpoint, you're like, man, there's definitely some room to improve there. But when you look at the whole context of how the season played out and the complete and utter lack of any support in big games on the offensive side of the ball, to me, that is the biggest thing you need this year to help get those defensive numbers up. And I think, you know, the only flip side it would be is if you score fast. If you score fast, then, you know, it's the same thing as going three and out, I guess.
Yeah, it is.
So regardless, continuing to have three and outs and putting those guys. I think about that Oklahoma game. How many times did we make them punt?
No.
It was crazy. They punted in a crazy amount of times. You gave them the ball, got the ball back over and over and over and over again. And you could say that for a lot of games.
Yep.
This defense getting the ball back to the offense, giving them multiple opportunities. Even in the Vanderbilt game, when they struggled, they got the ball back for them to win at the end. You know, they created a turnover, or it was a fourth down stop or something like that. You know, Arkansas, when the offense is stagnant, you know, you get those big interceptions and get them back in the game. The defense felt like they were a unit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the continuity of keeping DJ Durkin, I think, was a big deal. I know there's a lot of people that had the whole mindset of that losing begets more losing, and I don't necessarily agree with that. I thought DJ Durkin's been one of the bright spots for Auburn football the last couple of years. So my biggest concerns are when, particularly how disruptive Auburn was up front. You're essentially have a whole brand new defensive line, all the way from the interior guys to the edge, and everything is based off of potential. There's not a lot of proven production anywhere across that defensive front. And that's the only thing that's got me a little bit nervous.
Yeah. So, well, again, though, it goes back to if you put together drives, I mean, because like you said, scoring fast, I mean, on the three and out thing, if you got the defense having to go get trotted back out there every 90 seconds, that makes for a pretty sucky fourth quarter because – I mean, those dudes are big. Like, they're not made to be on the field every 90 seconds. They're made to sit and, you know, it's good to see a drive go down to 6, 7, 8 minutes of a quarter. Like, I have zero issue with that. And just to give them rest, and especially, you know, especially late in the season. I mean, clearly, you know, those big dudes have been on the field constantly. So the unproven part worries me a little bit.
Sure.
And because now, I mean, they could be one of those things where with them going against Brown and that host of receivers, as well as the running backs every day in practice, iron could sharpen iron, and they could, you know, be a whole lot better than I think that they are.
Yeah.
But I think right now, as bad as it sounds, the pressure probably falls on the offense to stay on the field and get some points up, because we don't know what the defense is going to do right now as far as the edges and the interior linemen are concerned. Now, it could be a pleasant surprise. I mean, we could get midway through fall camp and be like, okay, this is a little better than I thought it'd be. But right now it seems like it's by committee as far as everybody on the interior is concerned. And, you know, there may still be some question marks elsewhere as well. So I think Durkin has got a natural ability as being a talent guy, to a talent evaluator, and putting guys in
he's nailed it on a lot of his guys that he's brought in.
Exactly. And so the fact that he signed off on a lot of these transfers that have come in, let me know, okay, he sees something. Now, whether they pan out, like we talked about with basketball, you know, we saw Freeman, we saw something there, hasn't necessarily panned out yet. I think it will next year if he comes back. Same thing with football. If these guys pan out because he saw what their potential and what, you know, what they can possibly do, I think Auburn's got a good chance to surprise somebody as far as their interior linemen and those edges, as well as even linebackers. But it comes down to Kyle, less three and outs, more time on the field. You know, the hurry up, get ready, go offense is great when it's clicking and you stay on the field. The hurry up, get ready offense absolutely sucks when you're out there for 60 seconds and then your defense is right back on the field.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. I would say
go ahead. Hold on, one more thing on that. Because all those numbers you just read off from last year, if Auburn doesn't do as poorly as they did offensively, how much better are those numbers?
Well, how about this, Ben? What if you just had those numbers with a better offense? What does Auburn look like if they could just hold serve across the board? On where they were on defense, but instead of scoring 26 points a game, you scored 32. Another touchdown, essentially.
Yeah, just another. Yeah.
How much better? So, you know, if this offense can live up to what we think it could be, is there that much of a potential concern on the defensive side? Let's look at the defensive line roster, because. Don't worry about pulling it up, Ben. I'll kind of relay it to you. Your only guy that's returning that's had a substantial amount of SEC experience on the interior is a big. It was a big get back, I guess. A get back was Dallas Walker.
Mm-hmm.
He can't play, you know, 60, 70 snaps a game. So there's going to have to be guys like St. Ferrier from App State. There's going to have to be guys like Jordan Crawford, who I expected to see more of last year, play more this year. You're going to have to have guys step up. Your best, you know, your Malik Blockton position, you know, you're going to be filling it with guys like Cody Sigler, your Arkansas State guy, Darian Smith, who I actually thought, when you go actually look at his production, played really, really well as a true freshman last year. Buddy Mathis, Walter Mathis Jr., you got some pieces there. Like, there's some good pieces on the interior. It's just a lot of projection. Is there anybody in particular out of that group that you think needs to, I guess, step up more than others out of that list that I just read? You know, St. Ferrier on the end, like in the middle or at outside at end. St. Ferrier in the middle, Dallas Walker in the middle, you know, Jordan Crawford in the middle. I'm kind of looking at Jordan Crawford, but
I was going to say I'm going Crawford on that, just because I'm kind of with you. I expected a little more out of him last year than what I saw.
Yeah.
And so this year that page gets turned. I mean, clearly Durkin sees something in him. I mean, he was not one that was out there fishing to go somewhere else. So
they locked him down.
Yeah. So he's bought in. So now you know, it's that whole get them on the bus, but give them the right seat. Now they got to, and who knows if some of those, you know, you talked about some of the freshmen. I mean, who knows if some of those guys step up and it makes his job a little easier this year. And sure. But if you said just name one, Crawford would be the guy, just because of, I think my expectations last year have gotten larger for him this year, just because he's a year older, year more experience, more tape, more coaching with Dirk. Gets Durkin retains him. He retains Durkin. You're working within the same unit. So all signs point to him having I'd venture even say a way better year this year than what
you
he
need
had
him to have one for sure.
Yeah.
There is definitely something to be said for the retention aspect, like investing to make sure that you keep him. Did you see he opened up some kind of
I didn't
look at the details. He opened up some kind of
it's like social
community center,
like
with his NIL money, which I think is awesome.
Yeah.
So when you see stuff like that, it makes you want him to succeed even more. So you got Jordan Crawford on the interior, and then that Malik Blockton role, that, you know, not necessarily a pass rusher, but maybe more like Keldrick Falk. Mm-hmm. Maybe more that than
Malik container. Blockton.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A guy that's going to be able to set the edge but still be able to give you a little bit of pass rush. I mean, Darian Smith, Cody Sigler, you got guys like that. Malik Autry can even do that some.
Oh, that's a name I forgot about.
Yeah, who do you want to see in that more – not the run stopper, the plugger position, but more one of those disruptive defensive ends, or, you know, defensive tackles. Who do you think needs to make a big step this year?
Well, I think it's got to be at the defensive end position. And because when you look at what they're leaving, because everybody always looks at defensive ends, and the first thing they think of, especially if you're an Auburn fan, you look at, like, back in the Tuberville era, the McClovers of the world and the yeah. Groves of the world you know, the Edens of the world that were kind of getting home and coming with bad intentions.
Well, see, I'm talking more along the lines. So well, that's our, we got the edges.
Guy do we have that can, I'm not expecting that role. I don't think we got anybody that can have that role. So what guy basically is a tackle that is going to play defensive end because he's a stopper that you mentioned setting the edge, like, turn it back in. So then that way, you know, your middle guys and your linebackers can have an opportunity to stop it. I mean, I think that's what kind of goes unsung with Falk. Last year, if you just watch film, yeah, you get to see some of the times he got home and got a sack. People brag about that. But it's like, how many times did they literally avoid him or go the other
direction? That's
because he's so big and he's so wide, his arms and his legs and his base – that they were like, we can't go that way because he can at least slow our guys.
Having to play multiple positions. You know, he's not just sitting there, you know, in a two-point stance coming after the quarterback. Like, that wasn't what he was doing a lot last year. He was having to slide inside a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know that guy is necessarily on the roster, but you could probably do it by committee. Mm. I really think you got to have Cody Sigler be not only good but versatile. And then Darian Smith, there's going to be a lot of pressure, a lot of weight on Darian Smith to have a big year. And then Buddy Mathis, too. That's another guy that
– it's a great football name, too, by the way, Buddy Mathis.
I know. A lot of guys, there's a lot of pressure on him, too, to step up and have a big year. When you're talking about pass rush, this is what I talked about this morning. And my point was, Ben – from the pass rush, the edge room, you got six guys. And pretty much, probably just pass rush and then the interior defensive line are the only two groups where I literally don't know exactly who the guys are going to be. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You can kind of get a good idea, obviously, at quarterback and running back and wide receiver and offensive line and tight end, defensive back, safety, linebackers. Yeah. You got a pretty good idea at all those. It could literally be anybody. On the defensive interior and then off the edge.
Well, look at what you just done. You named 9-10 players.
Yeah.
They can't all play defensive line. So it's going to be a rotation. So who's the best?
The point of that is I think any of them could win the job. You know what I mean?
That's a good thing.
I think that is a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, we're looking at the experience as a bad thing is a concern, and I think that's valid. But that also, like, I think that literally any of these guys, it could be a coin flip and they could win. Like, it wouldn't shock me if Jacquez Wilkes, as a true freshman, comes in and carves out a role. Yeah. Wouldn't shock me one bit if J.J. Falk says, hey, I'm in year two, but I'm probably got some of the highest athleticism ceiling in this edge room. I'm going to take this job.
Yeah.
Wouldn't shock me if Deshaun Womack finally decides he's going to be a five-star. and in his last year, and he's like, okay, I'm 6'5", 265, and I was a five-star coming out of high school. This is my last ride. I'm about to, you know, burn it up. And then it wouldn't shock me.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it wouldn't shock me if Jared Smith is the guy we thought he was in year two, you know, and we invested highly to keep him. So it's like it's literally a coin flip, I feel like, with any of these dudes. And you kind of said it. I think that could be a good thing.
Yeah, because even if the offense is clicking, they're still going to be on the field quite a bit. And because we talked about Brown, I mean, they, you know, Golish is going to use them, so they're still going to be out there. And you need that many bodies, especially come midway through the third quarter on into the fourth quarter. Because, yeah. I mean, how many times have we seen Auburn give up one late? Or if they were within scratching distance, even if Auburn was down, you know, you give up. Even giving up three that kind of made it a two-score ball game instead of a one-score ball game. And so if you got some fresh legs out there, which I think is a good thing, and it's telling that you got this many guys. You've got, as I said, 9 or 10 that you mentioned across that front line that could possibly go in and out. Now, you know, everybody wants to talk about, like, getting home and getting after the quarterback. What I need out of these guys is working together and just getting a quarterback out of rhythm, getting him out of sync.
Affect him.
Yes.
Pressures, like, hurries. Doesn't have to always end in a sack. Get him off platform. Get him out of his rhythm. All that stuff.
I mean, that goes to, you know, that's like the pro level stuff. Like, you've heard even the J.J. Watts of the world. He's like, oh, I wasn't worried about getting home. I just needed him getting out of the pocket. And then after that, you know.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Get them out of their rhythm. They're used to being in practice, not being touched, and making throws without having to worry about somebody getting them off their pedestal. So get them off their pedestal. Get them worried. Get them, instead of going through three reads, get them going through one and then tucking it and going, and let the rest of you guys work with you in order to make something happen. And I think this is a group that can do that. Are we going to see some guy that's got double-digit sacks by the end of the year? No, I don't think so. Yeah. But if you look at pressures and hurries and disruptiveness, I think we have the athletes. That's what I look at when I see these guys, very athletic. And you talked about right just a minute ago, I mean, 265, being able to be wide and you know, basically clog up a gap and make a running back bounce to the outside where an end is waiting on him, makes a huge difference that people – watching the game, you don't necessarily notice, but when you watch it the second time around and you see the adjustments the offense had to make in order to try to make a difference, like, that's the thing. Make them do what they don't want to do.
Make them aware of your presence. Yes.
And so, I mean, that was, you know, I've told you, my dad coached, and that was his number one thing. He's always, before he became a principal, he'd say, make them do what they don't want to do. In basketball, if they're wanting to go with their right hand everywhere, get over there on the right side and make them go to their left the entire time. Same thing in football. You know, if they're wanting to, you know, go to the right side, then daggone it, do something to make them go the other direction and get them uncomfortable.
I love it. I love it. Ben, appreciate you, bud. I'm kind of excited for spring. I'm going to see how some of these battles shake out and what that defensive front looks like, because I literally have no idea at this point.
I don't know that they have any idea.
We're going to find out. We're going to find out quick.
I mean, that's what spring. I think spring, we've talked about winning the offensive line in spring, like coming out of spring with an offensive line. I think we're on the same boat on the defensive side of the football. I think we got to make some judgments and some calls to see who's going to be the anchors when fall rolls around, as far as the defensive side of the football is concerned.
I believe it. I agree, guys. I appreciate it. We'll talk tomorrow. War Eagle.
War damn Eagle.